If you're listening via Spotify, I invite you to follow Sir Kevin Says. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can show your support by subscribing and rating the show 5 stars. Alternatively, you can watch the video version of this and every other episode on my YouTube channel, Kevin Michael Chong, or visit my website, www.sirkevinchong.com, and view or listen to them that way. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 32 of
Hello,
Sir
guys.
Kevin Says. Welcome.
Hello.
Joseph.
Thank you so much for having me.
De La O.
It means so much. I don't know what to say. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here, man.
No problem.
You ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. So before we get into it, we've known each other since 2009 or 10.
I think 9.
2009? Okay.
I think 9 because 2010 we started working at the same church together.
Yeah. Which is a funny story how we met.
Yeah. I was actually telling other people when I got the text from you about coming here how we met. You explained it.
Okay. From what I remember, right? We texted to say, hey, are you still up to meet around 12 or 1? We were just trying to jam, I think. We were just trying to play, right?
I think I was looking, somebody recommended me to do a gig that you were doing. Yeah. And so somebody told me to call you and see how that was. And your name was Sir Kevin. Oh, that's not your last name.
No.
That'll be interesting if it's your last name now. Chong.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we can say the story. It's
I mean, we can't, because I called you afterward and I said, hey, let's meet up or whatever. And you were interning at the church.
I was interning at a church. I was being a good boy. It was a really amazing season.
Yeah.
That I had there.
And so I went to the church, which happened to actually also be a theater in the past, right?
Yeah.
And so I think I walked into the church after I texted you, hey, I'm here. And I walked in and you were wearing like an orange shirt or something like that. I passed you. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? And you're like, hey, what's up, man? And I kept walking past you.
You remember what I wore?
Well, I remember these moments, man.
Wow, you must really like me.
Thank you so much. So I walked past you and I think it was like 2 or 3 minutes in. I texted you again. Hey, bro, I'm here, but I don't see anybody at the church.
Well, that's why I'm like, I don't know if we can say the story because we both thought we were different. Well, I thought you were going to be different looking because of your last name. So sorry.
He thought I was going to be Asian and I thought he was white. So, or Caucasian. Is that the political term?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying that. I don't know if we can say these things.
We can. It's all good.
Okay,
it's
cool. Not a, we watch Dave Chappelle. He's he allows us to say certain things.
But yeah, that's how we met. And I came in with some timbali sticks to play some drums.
Gosh, you're so loud. And I remember you're like, I'm here. After we're like, where are you at? I'm like, we just passed each other in the lobby. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I came back. And you're like, here, I'm ready to play. And I was like, okay, I plugged in. And I remember you were 17 at the time.
Yeah,
or
probably.
You just graduated.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm the young guy that's more talented here. But you can't be younger and more talented than me. So I felt a little challenged. You know how you're a little bit younger. You're like, oh, no, I can be better than this person. But I was like, dang, he played loud for timbal sticks. I was like, this is fun, man. Let's become best friends. And yeah, we're still friends, man. I mean, we don't see each other as often because we're busy. But we just pick off.
Yeah.
From where we left
good
off.
Times, man. Good memories.
Yeah.
A lot of good ones, man.
A lot of good ones. We were super young.
Yeah.
I guess we're still young.
Young at heart, bro.
Oh, yeah, always.
So, what have you been up to, man?
Yeah, well, I mean, this year I did a tour. I did a European tour, and it was kind of funny because we're doing shows, and every time we leave a show, all of a sudden we hear cases come up, like, oh, COVID case. There's 11 people in, you know, Nottingham or I don't know, Manchester. Mm-hmm. And we kept doing that for the whole month, and then we got back. We're like, all right, nobody say anything. We haven't been exposed. It was kind of freaky because we didn't. Nobody thought I was going to leave Wuhan.
Yeah, Wuhan, China.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And
You're talking about back in January, right?
February.
Okay.
February. And we just didn't know. You know, we didn't know it was going to be a huge thing. So when I got back, everything was just like shut down.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was going to be able to make it home. I thought they would stop us. But no, thank God I was able to get home. But everything stopped. But I'm very grateful that I continued working.
Yeah.
Even being precautious with Kiefer and different acts, just making sure we're doing the right thing, 6 feet apart, or being COVID tested. By the way, got COVID tested to be here. You know what I'm saying?
I know. And it's a stipulation on the contract.
I just have to do it. This is like, so sorry, guys. My ADD is acting up. And, you know, I got to work with great producers this year. We're working on Kiefer's next album, mm-hmm. and I got to work with Chris Lord-Alge, which is a big name. And
that's awesome.
I worked with a lot of different people and the stories, and I'm just kind of getting into that world now. Which is I'm very grateful and honored and privileged
yeah.
to keep you know having those moments arise. And so we've been working on his album and you know doing different things you know with him. And you know even I play in a local blues band here mm-hmm. you know and they're a little bit more mature. So we just kind of just set up in the garage and Four Corners, and we just play
nice
and just have fun, just make sure we're playing still. I love to play. Yeah. I have to play. It's like it's a great release, and I'm very privileged to do this as a living. You were part of it when I first started. I did not know I was going to keep playing music. You know, it's just one thing like, oh, I get paid to do this. Okay, there goes my cell phone. I can get a cell phone. Oh, sure, I can pay my car. Oh, I you know,
yeah.
It's
little by little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thank you so much. I remember we used to look out for each other.
That's right.
Like, oh, you need a bass player? Oh, you need a drummer? You know? And so you were that person in my yeah. life to keep on doing that. And you still are.
Yeah.
By the way.
That's right. I hit you up for something.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I mean,
it was last minute, but it was kind of like an emergency.
Yeah, I answered you 2 minutes later, and all of a sudden, my gig's taken away. Shoot. That other person must have been amazing. Yeah.
Well, actually, he's not a bass player. He's actually more of a guitar player than anything. But,
oh, yeah? Who's that guy?
I can't tell you that, bro.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Are you sure about survival?
No. I'm sorry. Can they hear that?
Yeah. They will. It's actually included in the video.
That would be hilarious. If they don't know what I'm doing. Just like poking around.
Yeah. It's a little module here. We have its interface, the Rodecaster Pro, which is an amazing product.
This guy knows what he's doing. There's technology everywhere here.
Yeah. Try to keep it hit.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you, man. Yeah. It's been a while since you've been here. Or at least since I've kind of redesigned this whole space.
Yeah.
Because you remember it was my dad's office.
It was, man. Yeah. And I haven't been here in
a couple years now.
Yeah, I think
right?
you threw a Christmas party.
That's right. But we normally have it inside.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I even came here late for that and I didn't even have the salad prepared. I just showed up with a bag. Right. You guys got a bowl?
That's right.
I'm such a mess.
Well, for those that don't know, Joseph DeLoe has been a Bass Pro Shop.
Greg Bissonette's brother. Joseph Bissonette.
All right.
He's been a Biss. You should have never asked me to do this. We're just going to be laughing this whole time. And there's only an Inca Cola in this. I asked him.
Yeah.
He asked me what I wanted
well,
to drink.
Well, I mean, we have coffee. We have water. We have apple juice. And when we have Inca Cola, obviously. So you're the second person that's actually requested that. JD requested that last week.
Well, I thought you were going to give me like a can so I can be like... Do people know you're Peruvian?
Yeah, of course.
Do you tell them every podcast or every episode?
No, not every podcast.
Sir Kevin says... Peruvian food is the best.
Well, the goal is eventually to get a sponsorship with Inca Cola. It'd be nice. I wouldn't mind that.
You should.
Yeah, I'd try.
Who was the other person?
That drank Inca Cola?
Mm-hmm.
JD.
Last week. You just told me that.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
I'm so sorry.
Well, for those that don't know, Joseph DeLoe has been a bass player for 20 years. Currently, he is with Emmy Award winner Kiefer Sutherland and has performed on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Good Day America, Live Entertainment Awards Germany, BBC The One Show, Luzhniki, is that how you pronounce it? Luzhniki?
I don't know.
Stadium.
They have extra you know, letters in their alphabet. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Sorry if I'm not pronouncing it correctly for any Russians that might be watching this.
I was in Moscow. Yeah.
Yeah. Moscow. Exactly. Yeah. It seats over 60,000 people. Is that the most you performed in front of?
I think that was that's probably like the highlight of how I got to perform with the most amount of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
In one area.
That's crazy, man. In his spare time, he enjoys biking, hiking, and playing music, as we were talking about.
Yes. So, I feel like I'm on a dating show now.
Well, what do you want to call it? We can Sir Kevin Says Dating Show?
Sir Kevin Says, you are no longer single. I'm just kidding.
No, man, that's pretty impressive. That's awesome, dude. I remember when you got the gig with Kiefer a couple years ago, man. You were like, dude, I don't know if this is going to happen or not. If it does, this is what it's looking like.
Yeah, it was so interesting how that happened. I was just, I was getting kind of comfortable just gigging around, you know, and playing with you and talented musicians like Alex. Alex is a great friend. He was on here.
Yeah.
We had a rotation, Ron and all, so many local friends that we had. But I didn't know it was going to happen. I got recommended.
Yeah.
And it was mostly like, yeah, I'm going to start playing with this new artist. And can you just like listen to these songs and show up tomorrow? It's like, oh. Okay. Of course, I'll just do that. And I just listened to the songs for a couple minutes, went through the whole form, and I showed up. I didn't know Kiefer or the management producer was going to be there. It was like, you gotta pay more attention to the parts and stuff like that. I'm like, oh shoot, that's intimidating because I haven't had that happen in a while. Yeah. So I went back home and took every 10 seconds, you know, to learn every little thing. Which is fun because you get to appreciate what the other musician did, you mm-hmm. know, and really thinking about how when they record and how they lay down tracks and stuff like that. It's like a journey per instrument and stuff like that.
So wait, you did the audition for Kiefer and then they told you, hey, pay attention more to this,
yeah,
these lines
and
whatever,
come back.
And come back. That's actually very surprising because normally in auditions, it's like you get one shot.
I didn't know it was an audition process, so... And then they're very gracious to have me back. And since then, I created a friendship with everybody.
Yeah,
and it's such a great group because they just it felt like family. And me and Kiefer, I'm very happy to call him my friend.
Yeah,
and likewise, I hope he can call me his friend. I'm gonna be really mad. I'm just kidding. But everybody in that group and the people that I've met on the road or anything. I've been very privileged and blessed to meet people that are really nice.
Yeah.
You know, and encouraging. So that's been fun.
Yeah.
So that's how I got gig. I was, I think, like 5 years ago.
That's right. That's right. Well, talk to us a little bit about your upbringing. Because I've known you, like we talked about, for over 10 years now. And you grew up in the church. Baptist, right?
I grew up in the Baptist church. My parents, I'm a second generation Hispanic. So that means my parents were born in a different country. Mm-hmm. I'm Salvadoran, so they came from El Salvador. I think in the 70s when they were having their civil war, and then had me about in 87, and so I got to grow up with my parents having a household as Spanish as the first language, and then learning English. Secondary. So it was interesting because I grew up in the suburbs about 30 miles east of LA.
Yeah.
And so, which is wasn't really populated with Hispanics. So I had to like learn quickly the English culture. But I'm very gracious. I grew up in this nice little cul-de-sac and I had friends there around the same age. So I grew up like the Kevin Arnold. I don't know if anybody knows Wonder Years. I was just like the suburb kid. And then I went to church every Sunday, and then eventually somebody told me, the pastor's kid told me, hey, why don't you play bass? I'm like, okay. I was 13 at the time. And I just started playing. I just kind of just committed. And that's like the thing I noticed even from my father or my mother in their marriage, because they're still married, and they committed to each other. Mm-hmm. And my dad always committed to just providing. I was like, I'm just going to commit to this. So I was like, kept on doing it. I tried to stop, but I just kept on playing.
Yeah.
Anyways, and yeah, 20 years later, I'm doing this.
That's crazy, man. I remember when you lent me the Nathan East DVD.
Oh, yeah.
And Dave Weckl.
Foreplay.
Yeah, somewhere around here.
Yeah, in the Drummers Collective. Those were my thing. God, you still haven't given back that DVD, by the way.
I know.
I was like, oh, don't tell my brother. He's the one who gave that to me for Christmas.
Which one, Chris or Jonathan?
Jonathan, yeah. And so, yeah, I'm the youngest of three.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of musically inclined, too. They have, like, music as a language. And I grew up with my mom listened to Motown and all that cool, like, funky stuff. And,
yeah.
And a little bit of disco, like the Bee Gees. And then my dad was more, like, Beatles and 60s-oriented.
Cool.
So I it was very broad. And so, yeah, I just grew up playing all sorts of music. In my Walkman was a cassette or CD player.
Mm-hmm.
I just loved hearing music when I was able to do it. You know, I remember just probably kind of dating myself, but just always choosing a CD and just like sitting in the car and waiting to go somewhere.
Mm.
You know, because you can drive as a kid. You're just like, I'm just going to listen to this.
Yeah. I don't
know. 1997, Big Willie style. That's my thing right now. And so I just love to listen to music, and I kind of just understood the beats and stuff like that. And
yeah.
My dad's like, do you want to play bass? And do you know what the bass part is? And I'm like, yeah, it's that. And I knew how to pick out the bass part.
Wow.
And stuff like that. And how many? He's like, okay. And then he bought me a bass. It was like Yamaha. I don't have it right now. I lent it to somebody. It's kind of flirting around, which is fine as long as it's being used. But
Man.
That's it. Suburb kid. And then I working in LA.
Yeah.
California.
I'm surprised you didn't make the move to LA, actually, as often as you're there.
I still think about it, mm-hmm. You know. I love to be around my family because they've given me everything I needed.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure my parents are good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have one grandma that I only met. I want to make sure they're good.
Yeah.
And this is a beautiful town.
Yeah.
The city.
IE, man.
Yeah, the IE, it's like that. I got to travel. I remember I was like, California, I need to get out of here. And then I come back, it's like, whoa, these mountains are amazing. You just like look up while you're driving Haven Boulevard or whatever.
And we have everything here, man. I mean, if you want to go snowboarding during the wintertime, there's Big Bear, not too far. During the summer, there's the beaches, which are 45 minutes, you know.
Right.
And if you like theme parks, Six Flags, Knott's Berry Farm, Disneyland. So it's all here, I think, right?
It's not too much of a drive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But LA is great. I mean, LA is so wide.
It is.
Compared to any other city.
Yeah.
So broad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I who knows? Maybe. But as of now, I'm okay.
Yeah. That's
cool. I like it now. How about you? You like to say things.
Well, I like to, I should have called this Sir Kevin Questions. Instead of Sir Kevin Says. I do say a lot of things, but it's questions to the guests.
Yeah, the fans like that idea.
Which leads me to my next question, because I remember we used to always talk about this during our car rides to church and stuff like that when we carpool.
That's right, we had windshield talk.
Yeah. So I remember we used to talk about burning out, right? Moments where we get into instances where we're doing the same thing over and over. It's very repetitive.
Yeah, you remember those days?
You know, so,
I don't know if you still have that where you just couldn't listen to music.
Yeah, so I did have those days. Yeah, because we'd be playing at sometimes three churches in one day, you know, and it's exhausting. So my question for you is, how do you keep yourself from burning out in those instances? Anything you do? I know you like your me time, right? Like Mondays, nobody hit me up.
I remember that was the thing, huh?
Yeah.
Nobody talked to me on Mondays.
Yeah.
Well, I remember I was working somewhere and they're like, no, I think I was working at a church and it was like Mondays were closed. I'm like, well, Monday's my day off. But I think it's just time management.
Yeah.
And finding something you can diffuse. I mean, at that time, I still like to bike or go hang out with friends and just laugh and just like diffuse any stress. And the great thing is just, that's why I said I like to play music. Because it helps me diffuse.
Yeah.
And I just love to play all sorts of genres or anything. I kind of just want to learn. And just to feel the vibe of something different.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to break something else.
You're good.
But remember around that time, I think the thing out here at the time was gigging. I feel bad saying it, but we gig churches. And I mean, no offense to anybody that does that. I mean, you got to find a means,
yeah,
and do your thing. But we used to start at a church at 8 a.m., right? Mm-hmm. Play a couple times, do a sound check, play a service, play a second service. And then we used to drive out to Buena Park, which is like 45 minutes away, mm-hmm. do a rehearsal there, play that service, drive back.
Be back for like a 4:30 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah, rehearsal, yeah. And then play, and then stay there, and then play towards the end of that service. And then we would play at a club in Claremont.
Oh, yeah, the Press?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we would play 3 sets there.
That's right. That was a full day.
Yeah, we did that a couple times, and that's why I was like, nobody talked to me.
Yeah, makes sense.
You know, and yeah. I felt bad. I remember walking in the door. I lived with my parents at the time. And and I feel a little bad. I could see the lights on in the living room. And I'm like, oh, they probably waited up for me. It's like, I don't know, 11 or 12. And I'm like, oh, hi, guys. Like, hey, how was your day? This is the... I was like, dude, I'm so beat. Just 2 questions each. That's it.
Yeah.
And they keep bugging me about that. I feel really bad. That shouldn't have been a thing at all. But I was just exhausted. But I needed to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I heard, you know, Victor Wooten would say, never say no to a gig. You know, I didn't want to say no. I would try it out. I would see what's going on. I'm like, yeah, what's going on? And then eventually that door closed because it's just not something, you know, that you should do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be working harder than the person that should be working the hardest in those situations. But yeah, I just find something to diffuse on. I'm very gracious. I don't have to do it that much. But on the road, you have to keep on going. And to me, the hang is a huge thing.
What would you say is the most difficult part about being on the road?
I think being consistent and showing love to people and respecting them, because you're living with essentially with, I don't know, 10 to 15 people. I don't know how many you can fit on the bus. But you're living with people that probably you wouldn't live with.
Yeah.
So you have to show them love and respect. And this is me. I would love to do that. I love to show love because I grew up with love. And so that's the price. Yeah. You still got to do it as a human being anyways.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, man. Remember Matt and Michael and...
Oh, yeah. That was a great time in my life.
You were under like a mentorship at that.
I was. At that time. I remember when I got there, I was kind of like beaten up through the music a little bit because I traveled as when I started playing music outside of church. Mm-hmm. I joined this merengue salsa Christian band. And,
yeah.
And Alex was on there for a little point in time. Those were the days, man. I mean, we would go up to San Fran every weekend or up north. And we would be on the van with those, like I don't know, 6 rows. And it would be an early call time. And I'm like, all right, dude, I'll get the floor going up. And then you get the seat, you know, going up. And then when we come back down, let me get the seat. And then you get the floor. But it was so hard. That was really tough. But it was a thing. So I got beaten up doing that. And I'm like, I'm just done with music. It's a never-ending process. Because you have to keep learning things, you know. It's a language that doesn't stop, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
If you think about it and if you understand it, it's forgiving.
Yeah.
As long as you know that. And so I stopped and I was dating somebody at the time. I was going to that church with Michael and Matt and Nestor. And I was like, I'm just done playing music. You know, I just feel a little hurt because, I don't know, it's too much of a grind. I don't know. And I joined their team and I went through the journey through that church, which is very it was very healthy for me at the time.
Yeah.
And it was great. They became friends. They're my brothers. I learned a lot through Matt. I told him what I wanted to learn. Matt was the worship pastor at the time. I wanted to learn how to speak, talk.
Communicate?
Yeah. I wanted the gift of the gab.
Yeah.
And we did that. We met every week and we just talked. And but I should have asked him to teach me how to write because I still misspell things all the time.
Thank you,
spell punctuation. Check. Yeah, I mean, you should learn that in school, though, right?
California school system, that's the only downfall of California is like 40 people in a classroom. I wasn't diagnosed with ADD at the time. Yeah. I diagnosed myself.
Oh, self-diagnosis.
I diagnosed selfly myself. Wow.
You diagnosed selfly yourself.
Anyways, yeah, and so they taught me how they taught me really a lot of key things.
Yeah.
It's not about me. Whatever you do, do it to your best of your ability.
Yeah.
It's okay not to be a perfectionist, but just do it right.
Yeah.
And if you know it's right, you know, people think it's right, but it's not. You have to really pursue what is right.
Yeah.
In all aspects, I guess. But it's okay. You don't beat yourself up. You did that also. You did an internship with Matt too, right?
I did.
Cool.
Yeah.
What does Kevin have to say
about that? No, that was a lot of fun, man. I learned a lot with Matt. I think it was at the time where I was trying to find a home church. And I think the reason why I didn't join the church was mostly because I didn't want accountability.
You're such a diva, man.
Yeah.
It's such a diva. I'm like, come on, Kevin. Join this church. Play in the worship team. I'm building. You can be part of something.
That's right.
First, come to a camping trip.
That was fun too,
so
man.
So young, man.
Good times, dude. Good times. Overcoming mental hurdles. Sometimes it's difficult to do that, I think, when we become discouraged or we don't feel like working on our craft. How do you get out of that funk?
I guess I'm still learning. I can't imagine what other people have to deal with stress of their life and all that stuff. What I do, I just remind myself that it's okay. That's like the foundation. It's okay. Keep going.
Yeah.
I have to give it a great example. My father. He kept on going. That guy broke his ankle playing basketball on a driveway. I don't know why they had the basketball hoop on the driveway. So such a bad idea. He kept on going. And, you know, he come home, play with us a little bit as children. I get to see that now as an adult. It reminds me of his strength, his mental ability to just keep on going. Yeah. My mother, she actually sacrificed not working. That's what people, I guess at the time you could have done or probably not. But it depends on their lifestyle, how they want it. And she decided, no, I'm going to stay home and watch the kids. We'll make it work with my father being a letter carrier and being the only income. Of course, my grandma helped too. She was great. I remember she used to send things every week, like a bag of cash to buy pizza or whatever.
Yeah.
But I didn't grow up rich or anything. I just seen that my dad sacrificed. I want to do this. I want this lifestyle. I'm on the same way. I want this. So how can I not do that on an everyday basis?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why can't I do that?
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what they have to go through, what I'm going to have to go through.
Yeah.
You know, so if I can't really do now, which is not that hard compared to what people do on everyday basis,
mm-hmm.
maybe that's just my perfectionist too right there. It's like, oh, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Well, whatever, man. As long as I'm able to show love and I'm not just like, oh, stay away. I'm frustrated. I mean, I do get like that. But it happens. And as long as you have positive people and influences to remind you that tomorrow's another day, a verse that I keep reminding myself, doesn't I think it's in Psalms, doesn't the Father or God feed the birds?
Mm.
Why worry about it?
That's good.
Yeah, it's a good faith to believe in. It's a beautiful thing. It's that heals just in itself to just think that way.
Well, how important has faith been a part of your journey?
Man, I mean, I grew up thinking Jesus is going to come tomorrow. This is going to happen. You know, and you're kind of like worried and scared. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I felt like that pressure. And my dad and my mom were very ethical Christians. You know, they're like, okay, take it easy on the fear factor of Jesus is coming, so do everything right.
Yeah.
Which is fine if people live that way. I don't. But there came a time that you have to become an adult and you kind of grow out seeing like, oh, but now I have to pay health insurance. I thought Jesus would have came by now, you know?
Yeah.
Or something like that, or rent or mortgage. It's like, what the heck? I never imagined. But you get to a point in your life where you have to decide, even though if you grew up in the faith, you have to decide that. Do you believe that there is a God or this monotheistic belief? And I think I was 27 at the time, kind of like when I was kind of breaking away from my household and kind of like trying to find who I was mm-hmm. as my own individual and not what my parents wanted me to be, because obviously they decided how they wanted to live life.
Yeah.
And their household. So you have to decide how you want it. And that moment, nobody's influence or anything, I decided, yes, there is a God. And I love that belief. And I have faith. And all I can do is have faith.
Yeah.
You know? And that brings me peace, because I'm not going to put down anybody that doesn't believe in that, because that's my faith. You know, it's seeing without believing. And if I can show that person that I'm peaceful, knowing that there is somebody out there, you know, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, that's my faith. If you see that I am different and you can find peace just by my company, then I think that's just like the ultimate.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that encourages me to keep living with love, because people don't know the Christian language or they've been like pushed away. Mm. So if I can just get them a little bit by my presence, just showing positive energy, you know, then that's my open door to let them know, hey, this is my thought process.
That's cool.
You know,
that's good, man. Yeah, that's really good. What does value mean to you?
Something that costs a lot. So much that you can't pay for it with any sort of monetary device or anything. Mm-hmm. And it takes work to maintain it.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Yeah. And I hope that's okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
Short and straight to the point.
Was that better than everybody else's?
Yeah, that was the best response I've gotten on the Sir Kevin Says podcast. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, man. I actually got the Kevin Says blessing. None of you guys did that. I did that.
Well, Joe, where can people find you? Social media handles, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
I'm on Instagram, Joe Della Osef.
Yeah.
That's my handle. I'm not that good with the social media presence, but I try to.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, that concept. So I don't know how to embrace it. I have it to let people know what I do and connect and stuff.
Do you have a website, by the way?
No. Okay. Somebody created like a bio.
Okay.
Under Kiefer's or something like that.
Oh, cool.
That's on my that little area.
Yeah.
The
description or bio section.
I promise I'm not that incapable with technology. What do you call that area? Like right under your photo and...
Well, that's the bio section. I always put link in bio.
Section. Yeah, okay, so yeah, you can find my link in the bio section.
Nice. Cool.
And you can message me and stuff like that. I can get back to you if you have any questions about music. I love to talk about music.
Cool.
And because it... I love to hear my own voice or how I like looking how I speak to people. It really encourages me.
That's funny. Well, this is episode 32 with Joseph DeLeo. Thank you, man, for being here. Really appreciate
it. I'm very privileged. Thank Tons you so of fun, much for dude. Having me. Yeah, man. I don't think you let them know. When we used to gig in Bonaparte for, I don't know, you still do this, mm-hmm. which is great, church. I hope Pastor Moses is doing well. Kenyon Church.
Yeah.
We used to write every Sunday together, 45 minutes. And we got so comfortable, we just like sleep. You can probably hear me snoring, whatever. And then we did that. We toured together. We toured the 57 freeway for years.
Yeah,
I did it for right. 6 to 7 years.
Yeah, a while.
And we gigged together. We did. Oh, wait, you know what? We didn't talk about our country thing together.
Oh, the country set with Ashley?
I'm going to ask you a question now. Do you miss playing the five sets at this a dive bar?
Oh, Mavericks.
Yeah, Mavericks. Yeah. Do you miss that?
I do not.
You didn't like my question, did you?
I don't like I don't
See,
like
it's
you.
Not so easy. Huh? Shut up.
Yeah. No, but thank you, man. It was fun having you here so on much. Episode 32 of Sir Kevin Says. Check out next week's episode and happy
New Year's
holidays.
Oh.
I mean, we're not New Year yet, but.
Hi, man. Thank you, guys. What do? We like give each other a high five that
yeah.
we did this?
Yeah.